Amen. Our scripture today comes from the Psalms. It is Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, we are beginning a new series, and it's called Begin Again. And at the beginning of the year, I thought it might be good for us to sort of remember what it means for us to walk with God and all the different ways that we do that in our life. And I know that you, probably like me, there are times when we walk closely with God and there are times when we stray. I just told this story this week that sometimes we need to be reminded of things. And when I was the pastor at Epworth Children's Home, I had 90 kids that would sit in front of me. And at the very beginning, they were so well behaved. And then as the weeks went on, it would sort of deteriorate. And there would be texting and whispering and shouting even across like the sanctuary. And I would have to get my stern voice on and remind them how they were supposed to behave in worship. And the next week, guess what? They were perfect. But it started all over again. The deterioration started pretty quickly. I know those of you who are teachers probably know this too. Just started deteriorating. And in many ways, that's the story of humanity. That we need to be reminded of our walk with God and constantly so we can sort of go, oh, this is what I need to be doing. So what does it mean for us to walk with God? Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to learn some disciplines, five different disciplines that Christians have done since the beginning of time. And those are the things that we are going to learn and be reminded of. And the first one today is worship and prayer. Worship and prayer. And we read today in both Revelation and in Psalm 95 about these moments of worship. This moment of worship at the throne with these honestly scary creatures, right? As they worshiped and they sang night and day. Some of us don't like to sing 10 verses, do we, Ken? But they sang night and day over and over and over again because it says in Revelation that God was worthy. God was worthy of it. That's actually where we get the word worship from. Our English word worship comes from an old English word called worth-ship. And so anytime you think about worship, you think about giving God praise because God is worthy of our praise. How is it that we are supposed to respond to a gift like the world. In Psalm 95, it says that the dry land is God's, and the seas are God's, and the heavens are God's, and we are God's, and it's all a gift. All of it. And what do you say when you receive a gift? I think there are probably two responses sometimes when we get a great gift. What's the first one? Thank you, right? When we receive a gift, we say thank you. And a lot of times that's followed up with, I love you. Because you just know and you can feel that love that comes through that gift. And so how do we think about worship as our thank yous and our I love yous to God for all of the things that have been given to us? And it's not just the things in our own personal lives, which we want to be thankful for, but it is the whole earth that has been given to us. Worship like this is practiced throughout Scripture. It is lived by Jesus, and it is foundational for God's people. You were created for worship. It is the response of the creature to the eternal. So, it's not just a human response, is it? If you've ever, it's sort of cardinal season a little bit, isn't it? And you see cardinals preen and look pretty and move around and sing songs. They are worshiping their creator. It is what they were made to do. We have a choice, unlike all the animals that God has created, unlike the flowers and the trees that bloom in the spring. We choose whether we say thank you and I love you to God. And so we come to God with our offerings. And a lot of times we talk about offerings and it's what? What do we talk about when we talk about offering? Money, right? Don't worry, there's going to be a whole Sunday on money. This is not it though. But offerings are also our praises, our hallelujahs, our joyful noises, like it says in Psalm 95. When we bring a joyful noise or make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that is our offering of thank you and I love you. There are three words that are used also throughout the Bible when it comes to worship. And there are three Greek words, but they all have a very similar definition. And so you don't need to know the Greek words unless you want them. You can ask me later. But they mean bowing down. We heard that in both Psalm 95 and Revelation, didn't we? A bowing down or humbling oneself before this God who is worthy. Demonstrations of reverence or awe. Demonstrations of reverence or awe. And the last one is interesting. It is rendering of service to one another. That we worship God when we serve other people. Because we are acknowledging that God did not just create us, but God created others. And we say thank you and we love you for that. We are supposed to be a living hallelujah in all that we do, here on Sunday mornings or outside of this place. We are to be in worship. So that brings me to the two different kinds of worship we do as Christians. The first kind of worship we do is communal worship. So I know, I've heard people say, you can worship on a golf course, right? You can worship in a fishing boat, and that is true. But there is a special kind of worship that we do together in a place that is holy and reverent. And Psalm 95, if you were to read back over some of these pronouns in Psalm 95, listen to what it says. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." Or, "Let us make a joyful noise with songs of praise." All of the pronouns in Psalm 95 are communal. This is talking about worship that's not just between you and God, but it is all of God's people together, praising in unison. Now, there are other kinds of worship. So many of you know Psalm 23 very well. And it is, "The Lord is what? My shepherd." And so there are also times when our worship is individual, particularly when we pray. We are worshiping as one to God. And so our two forms of worship we're going to talk about today are communal and prayer. Communal worship and prayer. So in the book of Acts, we have examples of the early Christians gathering together to worship. And these are the things that they did together. And let me know if they sound familiar to you. They prayed with and for one another. They sang. They broke bread or had communion with one another. They confessed their sins. They listened and reflected together on Scripture. They encouraged one another, and they collected an offering. Does that sound familiar? Amazing that 2,000 years later, our order of worship and the things that we do in worship are still those same things that those early Christians were doing gathered in homes. Those are the backbone of our worship together. And it was something that they did. Did you hear all those verbs? Prayed, sang, ate, confessed, reflected, listened, encouraged, collected. Worship was something they did. It wasn't something they went to. It wasn't a place where they were entertained. It wasn't a place where they just sat and took in, but it is a place where they acted. They did things. And we do those things in worship too, but do you ever think about them as verbs, right? That when you come in these doors, that you are coming to do something. Worship is something that we do. And we do it at least once a week. We do it at least once a week. From the very early Israelites, they kept a Sabbath once a week on Saturday. That has been their tradition. And our church grew out of that tradition. And though we don't worship on Saturdays, the early Christians shifted to Sundays, the day in which Jesus was resurrected. And so we worship weekly, at the very least, communally, together. Now, worship frequency for Christians has declined tremendously over the past 20 years. But the goal is always to try to be in worship somewhere every single week. So that is communal worship, the worship that we do together. But then there is our daily prayer, our individual worship. And I said, daily. Daily we need to be in conversation with God. And most what we need to do is to be grateful. Again, what was it? It was, thank you and I love you. A monk, David Stendhal Rast, says this: it is not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes us happy. And so we should be praying every single day, saying, thank you, God. I love you, God. And it has borne in medical research that that daily gratitude, that time when we gather just us and God, that walking hand in hand time, is good for us. Probably because, you know why? We were created for it. We were created for it. So when we deny it, it is bad for us physically, not just spiritually. So I want to read to you about a study that was recently done, a study conducted by the University of California, San Diego, and the University of Stirling in Scotland, followed 186 patients with stage B heart failure. This sounds very serious, doesn't it? One group in the study was asked to keep a gratitude journal over an 8-week period, writing down just 3 things every day that they were grateful for. And the researchers concluded at the end of the study that the people who kept the gratitude journal were less depressed, they slept better, and their heart-related markers in their bloodstream had improved over the patients who did not participate in the gratitude journal. That's incredible, isn't it? It proves to us, even through science, that this is what we were created to do, to worship, to say thank you and I love you to God, because God is worthy. God is worthy. And we read too in our call to worship that comes from 1 Thessalonians. Did you hear the things in that we are called to? Because it's God's will in Jesus Christ for us. We are called to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Because God is worthy. So I invite you this week, as we begin again, to make a commitment to be in worship and to pray daily. And I'm going to give you a little tool for praying daily. Everybody hold up your hand. Isaac, hold up your hand. There you go. All right. Okay. So your thumb is your morning. Pray every morning when you wake up. Doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Guess what you can say to God, and it will be a prayer. Good morning. Thank you for waking me up, right? The 3 fingers in the middle are your 3 prayers at mealtime. How easy is that? Most of us already do that, don't we? We say thank you to God at mealtime. And we can say thank you to our food for our food, but we can add other things that have happened throughout the day. And then that last one, your pinky, is what? Before bed, right? Just think about that. At least five times a day. Now, we did in Bible study pray without ceasing. And so there are ways to do that as well. But at least as we begin again and are reminded of what we should be doing, I invite you to attend weekly worship and to pray daily. Because God is worthy of our praise and our worship. I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, we come to you asking for you to transform us into a living hallelujah. Make us to be, Lord, people who are grateful to you, who recognize the gifts that you give us, and know who we are and whose we are. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.